The reading today is from Acts 2, starting at verse 22, going on to 41, and it's on page 1093 in the Pew Bibles. So Acts 2, 22. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the word of the Lord.
Pray as we stand. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word, and we pray that the Spirit who caused it to be written would be at work in our hearts and minds now, helping us to understand what it means and changing our hearts that we may live in the light of it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do sit down. Well, I'd like to begin by talking about signs. And I have in here some road signs, and I wonder if some people could help me understand what they mean. I wonder if I've got some help for people who can tell me what they mean. This is a fairly straightforward one. What does that mean? Go on, Henry. 30 miles an hour speed limit. Very good. Got another one. Can you help me with this one as well, Henry? Yeah, school with children crossing. Now this one is a bit trickier. It's just an upside down red triangle with nothing in it. Upside down red triangle with nothing in it. Some saying no entrance. Any ideas? Warren at the back?
As fast as you like.
So it's give way, but it just doesn't have anything in it. And there are some give way signs that don't and some that do. And these are all from Cranes Road. So, you know, you're driving along this every day. Last one. What's this one? Fairly straightforward. Again, Henry, what do you think this one might be? It's the shape of the road, and what shape is it? A cross. Yeah, it's crossroads. Come back to the one in a moment. These are signs. They tell you what might be coming up or what people might be doing. But they don't promise anything, do they? And I think particularly this one doesn't really promise anything, does it? It doesn't promise that you will only do 30 miles an hour. And Henry, I don't know about you, I don't know whether your mum or dad ever go above 30 miles an hour or not, but it certainly doesn't promise that they will. That's a sign. All a sign does is it shows you what's coming up. I also want to talk about seals, not the animal seal, but a different kind of seal. We don't use them so much today, and I could only find one document at home that had a seal on it. And I was given this in January of last year, and it is my license to be the rector here. And it's a kind of a promise. It's a kind of a gift from the Bishop of Winchester to say, you are going to be the rector here, and there are some responsibilities on you too. It's got the bishop's name on it, it's got my name on it, and it's also got the bishop's seal. So if you just have a little look, it's red, it's in wax, and can you just feel it?
It's shiny,
but can you feel it? It's bumpy as well.
Yeah, it's got bumpy bits around the edge.
Yeah, can you feel that? It's bumpy because it's got the bishop's seal on it. And it says his name, it says he's the Bishop of Winchester, and it's got a picture of his coat of arms, a bit like you see around us. It's like a promise, a gift. This is for you. Signs and seals. We're thinking at the moment about what happens when we meet together for worship on a Sunday, and why some of the ordinary things that we do are actually really special, some of the extraordinary things that are happening. And today I want us to start thinking about what the church calls sacraments. Sacraments. They are both signs, they show us what God is doing, and they are seals. They are promises from God that this is for you. And I want us to think today about baptism. Now the thing about sacraments is they are all about what Jesus has done on the cross. And so I'm just going to put this up here to remind us that all that sacraments are point us back to what Jesus has done on the cross. They are signs and seals of that. So we've got baptism. And so we've got three B's this morning to help us understand what baptism means. First of all, baptism is a badge. Baptism is a badge. Has anyone got a badge at home that shows that they belong to something? What badge do you have?
A police badge.
Does that mean you're a policeman? You're a member of a police force. Very good. Does anyone else have a badge that shows what they belong to? Go on.
We have staff badges for teachers at school.
Staff badges for teachers at school? Yes, very good. Any other badges to show that you belong to something? Oh, someone at the back. Yes, Henry? What club? Cub Scout, yes, very good. So we have badges to show that we belong. Baptism is a sign that we belong to God. So when Jesus died and rose again, he gave his followers a job to do. And he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Baptism is a badge that we belong to God. We have his name put upon us when we're baptized. I'll pour water on someone in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's a badge that we belong. It's a sign of belonging. It's a promise. You belong to me. But it's also a sign and a seal that we belong to the church. So there are a couple of verses that show us that in the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the church. In Ephesians 4 verse 4, he says, there is one body, referring to the church, and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Baptism is a sign that we belong to the church. Or Galatians chapter 3, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Baptism is a sign that we belong to the family of the church, that we're God's children. And it's a seal. It says that you belong to the church. Baptism is a badge. Next one. We'll keep the B. And we'll keep the A. But we'll change the next letters. Baptism is a sign and seal of a bath. A bath. It's one of the things that we often use water for, isn't it? At least I hope we do. The Bible says that we are all spiritually dirty. We sin against God. We live as if we're in charge of our lives. And we disobey God. The things that we think and say and do aren't what God wants them to be. And so that makes us unclean. It makes us dirty. But through Jesus' death on the cross, we can be washed clean. So that pouring with water is a picture that through Jesus' death on the cross, Jesus washes people clean as he dies in the place of people like you and me. It's a sign of that, but it's also a seal. It says, Jesus died for me when I receive baptism. It's a bath. And we get that from that word in Acts 3 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. That idea of our sins being forgiven or taken away. It's a bath. And it's even more clear a little bit later in Acts 22 and verse 16, when Paul is talking about how he's been converted, and he says what someone said to him, now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. It's a sign and seal of our sins being washed away. It's a bath. And then the last one. We'll keep the B. And we'll keep the TH. And we'll change the A. To an IR. It's a sign and seal of birth. Again, the Bible says that by nature, we live our lives as if we're in charge, we rebel against God, we don't obey him, and that way of life needs to stop, it needs to come to an end, it needs to die. And it's through Jesus' death on the cross that that old way of life comes to an end, and we receive the Holy Spirit who gives us new life. And again, we have that in Acts 2, and this time
also in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who enables us to put to death that old way of living and walk in newness of life. Somewhere else in the New Testament, this time Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. That pouring with water is a picture of the Holy Spirit being poured out to enable us to die, that old person to die, and to walk in newness of life. It's a sign, but it's a seal. It's saying that we are united. I am united with Jesus, and I've died, and now I need to walk in newness of life. So three B's to help us understand what baptism means. I don't want us to leave this morning thinking that it's simply enough to have the water poured on you. That's not the case at all. Peter, who said these words in our reading, also said, a little bit later in the New Testament, in one of his letters, it's not like the washing of dirt from the body. It doesn't just work automatically. We have to trust in what baptism is a sign of. But baptism is meant to be a way of assuring us that this is true of us. It says what God has done through Jesus' death on the cross, and that this is true for us. Who is baptism for? Again, that verse from Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, that is, all who have been cut to the heart by hearing the preaching of the gospel, the death and resurrection of Christ. It's for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, all whom the Lord our God will call. So the promise is for those who believe in Jesus and their children. And therefore, it's right that the children of those who believe in Jesus are baptized as well. They receive the sign and seal of that promise. But that's an area where Christians disagree, and we can be together in one church family and have different opinions over that. So baptism. It's a sign and seal. It's a badge. It's a sign and seal of a bath and of a birth. What difference does this make to each of us? For many of us, we'll have been baptized a long time ago, and probably for most of us, we weren't aware of it when it happened. So how should we respond? Well, first of all, there may be some among us who weren't baptized, and that's absolutely fine. But if you haven't been baptized and you want to become a follower of Jesus, you want to become part of his church, and you recognize that you need to have a bath, you need to be washed clean of your sins, and you want that new life that he gives you, and you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you to give that to you, then you should be baptized as a sign and seal of that. But for those of us who have been baptized, what does that mean for us? Well, think of it like a present. All these promises are like a present. They don't become automatically ours. We need to open that present. We need to make sure that we've responded to all that baptism is a sign and seal of by trusting in it ourselves. And we need to live in the light of our baptism. So we've had the name of God put upon us in baptism. And so we need to live our lives in a way that brings honour to God, whose name we bear. We need to put to death those things that belong to the life that has come to an end. And we need to walk in newness of life. And the Bible tells us those things that we need to put off, to put to death in our life. And what it looks like to walk in a new life. Once we've had a bath, we don't go wallowing back in the mud again, or at least we shouldn't. We don't start doing those things that we've been washed clean of. Baptism is a sign that we belong to each other in one body. And so we need to treat each other with love, because we are all part of one family. And baptism is meant to give us assurance, assurance. Martin Luther once said that when the devil tempts Christians, Christians can say, I have been baptized. Not because baptism automatically saves them, but because baptism points us back to the cross. It points us back to Jesus' death, through which we are forgiven. We are washed clean. We are given new life. And it's because of Jesus' death that we're saved. In baptism, God says, Jesus died to wash you clean and give you new life. And he did it for you. And so we can be assured. So there's baptism. God doesn't just speak to us through words, through our brains. He's made us with bodies, with eyes and senses. That's a design feature, not a flaw. And so he gives us these sacraments, these signs and seals, through which he also tells us about Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross. And that's baptism. It's a badge. We belong to God. We belong to the church. It's a bath. We need to be washed clean of our sins. And it's a birth. We need to be given new life. So may we live in the light of it. May we walk in a way worthy of the name of God. May we love one another. May we be assured of what Jesus has done for us. Amen.